physical blow. I was glad of it. At least that meant he'd heard me. "I know," I said, and had one hand on my hip and the other pointing at him, "that somewhere underneath that alcohol-infused self-pity you've been indulging in for the past months, there's a strong, brave warrior, and I want my brother back." "I'm here," he groaned. "Then show it to me." I pushed at him again. "Stop pretending to be the sleeping fucking beauty. No more hiding away in your bed. I need you to run this country with me." His head fell, and the pain from seeing my strong brother with his shoulders sunken, humiliated and broken like this, made me want to fucking roar out in despair. "I need you, Magni," I pleaded, and my nose twitched with emotions. "I fucking need you, brother." My voice broke as I spilled the last words and pulled our foreheads together. I didn't care that his breath was bad from hours of sleep or that he was naked. Magni had seen me at my worst and stood by me when our father almost broke me as a child. He had been by my side through the hell of being trained to be a ruthless ruler, and if not for him, I probably would have lost my mind. "Come back to me," I repeated in a gruff whisper. His chest heaved, and a throaty sound of heartbreaking grief erupted from him. "Remember when you took on that scumbag Neil who tried to stab me in the back?" I said, my voice thick with emotions. "Magni," I squeezed the back of his head, still standing forehead to forehead. "You fucking saved my life, man, do you remember? Come back to me." His hand lifted to grab my shoulder, and his moist eyes finally met mine. "I remember, and I'm still here." "Good." There was so much I wanted to say, but relief had my throat burning with unshed tears, and we were men, not wusses. So for a while we just stood there, breathing heavily and holding on to each other. "I want to help," he finally said, and the little spark in his eyes gave me hope that he could pull through. "Then get ready. We're flying to the East Coast to go troll hunting. They have a really ugly one called Edward that I'm eager to kill." "When do we leave?" he asked, and we pulled apart, straightening up. "Tomorrow morning, so no more drinking. I need you with a sharp mind, and there are things we need to discuss and strategies that we need to finalize. Give me an hour, and I'll meet you in your office." "Thank you," I said. "And for God's sake, brush your teeth, man. I think something died in your mouth or something." It shouldn't have surprised me when Magni quickly wrapped his arm around my neck and opened his mouth to breathe heavily into my face. "You fucking moron," I grinned and twisted his nipple to make him release me. Yeah, my brother was back, and I loved it. For days I'd been feeling stuck, and now that I was getting ready to face my enemies, energy boosted me to run down the stairs and straight off to find Pearl in my room. "I've decided it's time to get out of the house," I exclaimed. Pearl looked up from her book, and instead of being happy about the news, her face fell.
"So who will be my new protector, then?"
I moved closer to her and sat on the edge of the table in front of her, curiosity gnawing at me. "Would you like a new protector?"
"Could it be Archer?"
she asked, and it made me pull in air slowly, expanding my nostrils while thinning my lips. "Archer has a job," I snorted.
"So do you. That's why you don't want me as your burden anymore."
I stiffened, suspicion tingling at the back of my neck. "My burden?" I asked. I had used that word when I spoke to Boulder. Had he ratted me out? No, probably just confided in Christina, thinking he could trust her. Fucking fool.
"That's what I am to you, isn't it? A burden?"
Pearl asked, and when I didn't answer, she carried on.
"What happened to keeping it real? Weren't you the one to say that you value honesty over politeness?"
"You're not getting Archer as your protector, but if you're so into him, I can arrange a tournament and you can marry him."
"No," she exclaimed in a high-pitched voice. "I'm not marrying anyone."
I don't know what I would have done if she had agreed. probably thrown things around and punched Archer black and blue. "Then let me ask you this," I said, forcing myself to face the inevitable. "If you had to choose between me and him, who would you choose?"
"As my protector?" she asked.
"As your husband." Pearl put down her book and blinked up at me.
"I don't want a husband."
"Me or Archer?" I shot back, pinning her with my jealousy.
"I'm not answering that question."
"Me or him, Pearl?" I said, and leaned closer. "It's a simple question, and you love thought experiments, don't you?"
Pearl narrowed her eyes before she finally answered. "Fine, then. Hypothetically speaking, if I were to marry one of you, I think I would choose..."
"Yes," I said, my heart thumping fast in my chest.
"You. I would probably choose you."
"Why?" I asked, surprised.
Pearl squirmed in her seat a little, and she wet her lips like she did so often. "Because we have a lot in common."
"Like what?"
"We both like to play chess," she started, "and we both understand the responsibility of making hard decisions affecting millions of people."
"And?" I asked, intrigued.
"And we're both intelligent and great at strategy."
"You would choose me because of my brain?" I asked, and leaned back, resting my hands on the table that I was sitting on.
"Uh-huh, but you said you never participate in a tournament," Pearl pointed out.
"I said I haven't so far," I corrected her.
"Why?"
"Because it would be unfair to the other contestants."
"But they would have a fair chance to kill you."
"Yes," I laughed, "but I'm not worried about that. I'm a great fighter. I would make it to the final five champions."
Pearl tilted her head and studied me. "Oh," she breathed, "I see."
"What do you see?" I said, now in a much better mood than before.
"You're not afraid of dying so much as you're afraid of being rejected over another man."
"Don't be ridiculous," I chuckled. "Every woman from the Northlands would choose me if she could."
"Then why haven't you participated? Why does your brother have a wife but not you?"
Pearl had that inquisitorial expression in her eyes that came when she was on to something. I rolled my shoulders, pretending to be bored with the subject. "I will. Soon. When the right woman is ready for marriage."
Pearl lifted her face, looking regal in the way she sat with her back straight and her chin raised. "And if I was the prize, would you compete then?"
A slow grin spread on my face as I thought about her stupidity for making herself vulnerable to me with that question. Oh, so many rude answers popped into my mind, but something compelled me to stick to the truth. "If you were the prize," I said, and moved to sit next to her, "I would fight, and so would every man in this kingdom." We smiled at each other, locking eyes and sharing one of those precious moments where nothing troubled me and I was fully present. In that moment, I wanted her more than my next breath of air. She was so fucking beautiful, with those big blue eyes and straight pearly white teeth. Even her nose was cute, and my hands tingled to reach out and touch her silky blonde hair. Would she push me away if I kissed her? I was tempted to lean in and try, but I knew better. Winning Pearl wouldn't be quickly done. I would have to take my time and think carefully before my every move. This seduction game would trump every chess match I'd ever played with her.
"Good thing that it's just hypothetical," she said, and broke eye contact. "Since you already declared me too old and my eggs dried out..."
That comment broke the moment, and I leaned back. "We're going to the East Coast tomorrow morning," I said. "There are rumors of a group trying to start a rebellion. I need to confront them before they gather too much support."
"And will I wait here?"
"No, you're coming with me. You're going to help me bring these lowlifes back in line." She laughed.
"I'm a pacifist and a terrible fighter."
"I know. Leave the fighting to me and my men.
So why do you want me there?
I want them to see that you're with me.
As what, your hostage?
I shrugged. Ally sounds better, don't you think?
I'll come, she said softly. It'll be good to see more of the Northlands.
Of course you'll come. I got up and moved away from her. You don't have a choice because you follow me, remember?
Chapter 11. Edward the Lowlife. Pearl. I saw a beautiful rainbow the other day, my mother said when I met with her in the secure virtual reality room established when I'd met Con the first time. It made me think of you, she said with worry in her eyes. I'm fine. There is no need to worry about me, I assured her. Tomorrow, Lord Con is taking me to the East Coast to fight some rebels. My mother gasped. That doesn't sound safe. I'm sure he won't let anything happen to me. He's very protective. Isabel leaned in and studied me closely, not asking the question I saw burning in her eyes. Had he touched me? Christina has pointed to a candidate for the Inclusion Project, I said to change the subject. Her name is Kaya Janae. Christina and she were roommates for years, and according to Christina, she's an excellent educator. Would you look into her files, please?
I would be delighted to.
And the children? I asked.
Yes, about the children. My mother frowned. 40 children have been listed, and I'm going over their files.
40? I said, surprised. We only need 10.
The children on the list all have particular circumstances.
Like what?
Well,
she scratched her upper arm.
There's a girl whose mother volunteered as a peacekeeper and accepted the carrying of twin boys.
Yes. Peacekeepers were the women who carried the boys who were destined to be sent to the Northlands at the age of 3.
I'm not sure what went wrong, but one of the twin boys turned out to be a girl and the mother didn't wish to raise them.
It wasn't uncommon for peacekeepers not to raise their children, since giving them up at the age of 3 was harder than giving them up at birth. But it was very uncommon for a mother not to want her daughter. That's odd, I said.
Isabel's forehead wrinkled. Strangely enough, this little girl, Willow, hasn't been adopted by anyone. She just lives in a parenting unit, which makes her a candidate.
And Willow's personality? I asked.
She's described as lively and happy.
We'll take her, I smiled. My mother nodded.
I'll choose the ones most suited and send you their profiles.
We need a minimum of 8 girls, I instructed. 2 boys will be fine.
Why not 10 girls?
Because I need 2 boys who can bridge the genders.
What do you mean?
The 2 boys will have something in common with the boys, since they are, well, boys. But they will also have something in common with the girls, since they're all from the motherlands.
Ah, I see. Isabel nodded. I'm on it.
Thank you, and one last thing. I want the name of Willow's twin brother. It will make it easier for the teachers if 2 of the kids have something to bond over from the beginning. I'll ask Khan to find the boy and include him in the group.
Understood.
Wonderful. I'll talk to you when we're back from our journey to the east. She nodded.
I wish you eternal peace and happiness, my child.
Same to you, Mother. Ending the call, I packed the last items in my bag and waited for Khan to come and get me. He had told me he just needed to finalize a few details and would be back soon. Plunking myself down on the sofa, I crossed my legs and rocked my foot in the air, excitement flowing through me. If we could make this school project a success, then we could start more schools, and eventually it could become the new norm that N-boys grew up with girls and learned to respect them as equals. Maybe then, the new generation would see the logic of having an all-female council instead of a single ruler. In time, they might wish to join the Motherlands and be fully integrated to enjoy the benefits we had to offer.
Con. I could have asked the local police to handle the situation with the rebels, and normally I would have, but Edward was a special case. He was the youngest son of the dictator that my father had overthrown in a bloody coup 30 years ago. On the night of the revolution, My father and his friends took out the ruler and his three oldest sons. Edward's mother had begged for her two youngest children, who were only 2 and 4 years old at the time, to be spared. It was because of her tears that Edward and his sister lived today. I needed to remind Edward that he had survived because of my father's mercy, and that if he didn't crawl back down the hole he belonged in, I would have to eliminate him today. He was a sneaky bastard, Edward. He didn't rally large crowds or shout his intentions from the rooftops. No, he was subtle, and only met with small groups at a time, like a nasty spider, spinning his web and pulling threads. Mulder's informant had assured us he would be in his favorite spot, a bar called the Heinous Whore, where he recruited his followers among the poor and desperate. The bar was a shithole next to a whorehouse with broken windows and a sign that said, "Low prices on outdated models." "What does that mean?" Pearl asked when we passed the shop. Finn shrugged. "Outdated models mean sex bots that you can't buy spare parts for anymore. As long as you don't mind her missing an eye or a finger, or repeating the same words over and over, it's fine." "Boulder, you guard Pearl," I reminded him, although we had gone over the plan countless times. I wasn't comfortable with her being near potential danger, but we knew from our source that Edward had a strict no-weapon policy. I figured he was afraid of being shot by someone loyal to me. Weapons or not, I had still made sure Pearl wore thin protective armor under her clothes like the rest of us, and that my guards had the surrounding streets covered. No help would arrive to save Edward today. "Okay, let's pay Edward the lowlife a visit," I growled low, and nodded my head as a go. Finn and Magni walked in first. The bouncer by the door didn't stand a chance before Magni fired the numb gun. The impact would last around 20 minutes before he would be able to move again. The filthy small bar reeked of unwashed bodies and stale beer. And behind the bar counter, a topless female barbot missing a nipple raised a hand to wave, making it obvious that she was missing half of her index finger as well.
"Welcome," she said smilingly.
I followed right behind my brother and Finn, heading straight for the large round table where Edward sat with 6 other men. On the surface of the glass table was a large logo from a beer brand, enhanced by a pale bluish light from underneath the table that made the men look even more pallid and washed out. "So this is where you keep your secret meetings," I mocked Edward, who was as ugly as I'd heard him described.
"Lord Khan," he said, and squared his shoulders, searching the other men's eyes for support. I moved closer, swiveled his chair around, and leaned closer to his face. "My father let you and your sister live, and this is how you repay my family's mercy?" "Your father killed my brothers and my dad," he spat back at me. "That's right," I snarled, "because your father was a dictator who tormented his people." Edward pressed his lips together. "I'm going to make it easy for you, Ed," I spoke slowly and threateningly. "Swear your loyalty to me right now, or say goodbye to your friends." He had the nerve to snort loudly. "It would take me weeks to say goodbye to my friends. I have thousands." My nostrils flared in anger. I should have reacted when I first heard about his little meetings weeks ago. Things like this could easily escalate and get out of control. Edward raised his chin in defiance and faced me with resentment written all over his face. "You can kill me, but 2 more of my kind will take over. Your days are numbered." I was tempted to break his neck right then, but I took a step back and looked at his pals. "You really think this fucker will be a better ruler than me?" They didn't say it out loud, but their eyes spoke volumes. "And what are his promises, huh?" I asked. "Why would you follow a loser like him?" A few of them exchanged glances before a red-haired weasel of a man spoke up.
"He promised us women," he said. "Real women."
"Interesting.
I folded my arms and looked back to Edward the lowlife. And how exactly are you planning to deliver on that promise? He narrowed his eyes and puffed out his chest. We've got billions of them across the border. It's fucked up that we never get to taste real women when there's more than enough for all of us. Aha, I signaled for him to go on. We're going to tear down the borders and go get our women. Really? I nodded, interested. That sounds like a fucking master plan. Yeah, one more of the men got up. We're tired of having a weak ruler who lets women run the world. We want change. A weak ruler? I pinned the man with my stare, but he was too stupid for his own good and pointed to Magni. Even your brother is being made a cuckold by Momsey boys, and the whole country knows it. Fucking failures you two are. I held up a hand to stop Magni, who already had both hands on the man's collar ready to punch his head in. We'll get back to that in a minute, I said, and held back my own rage. First, I would like you to explain to me what you think will happen when you tear down the border. Or wait, maybe we should ask one of my good friends what will happen. I waved my hand to Boulder, who stood by the door with Pearl behind him, and the two of them walked closer. A gasp went through the small crowd of men at the sight of Pearl, and I couldn't blame them. She looked divine, like an untouchable goddess, too good to be in a place like this, and way beyond people like these assholes. This is Pearl Pelody, who is one of the council members in the Motherlands, and currently my guest. Your guest? Edward blinked in confusion. Why haven't we heard about this? I laughed condescendingly. Because you are nobody. That's why. She's a real councilwoman? I am, Pearl confirmed with her soft grace. All seven men were staring at Pearl, and it gave me a rush of pride to walk over and stand next to her. Pearl, darling, why don't you tell these misinformed men why tearing down the border won't be a smart move? She tolerated my closeness. We have had almost 400 years to prepare for the day such a thing would happen, and we are more than prepared. What's that supposed to mean? The red-haired man asked. It means that we track all movement close to the border, and that we have sufficient weapons to eliminate any threat against us. Pearl spoke softly and eloquently. Then we'll just fly over the damn wall, Edward hissed. You can't keep us out. Pearl angled her head and seemed to consider it. You could, she said, but the moment your unauthorized drone, plane, or hybrid crosses over, you would be under attack and shot down. We are 1.5 billion people against your 10 million. Do you really want to start a war when you're severely outnumbered? Yeah, if that's what it takes to get men back in power and women into our beds, Edward exclaimed, and received supportive comments from his friends. Pearl didn't look fazed by Edward's anger. I see, she said calmly. And you think women would be willing to sleep with you if you attack us? Or should I deduce that you're talking about raping women? He didn't confirm or deny it. Either way, Pearl said softly, I should warn you that although we are pacifists at heart and prefer sanctions to violence, we'll defend ourselves if we must. In fact, we have a whole army of robots just waiting for the day you attack. Ha! We're not afraid of robots or sanctions, Edward sputtered. That's because you're fucking morons, I growled and pushed him back in his seat. Our whole nation will be extinct if we don't receive boys from the Motherlands. You want to risk them holding back our boys? Edward bounced back up from the chair and was foolish enough to push at me. It made Finn, Magni, and me lose it. I'm going to fucking kill you, I sneered at Edward, registering that Boulder had quickly pushed Pearl behind himself and brought her back toward the exit. One of the men ran out the door, and I figured he had to be the informer, but the other six naively thought they stood a chance against us, being 6 against 3. Clearly they had no fucking idea who they were dealing with. Shoving Edward into the bar, I turned to see Magni slam another man's head down on the table. The glass top splintered, and when Magni pulled the guy back up, a large splinter stuck out from his forehead, and blood ran from several cuts. Edward pushed away from the bar and attacked me full force, but I had anticipated his move and welcomed him with my knee in his ribs. He whimpered, but attacked me again, throwing his arms around like a small windmill. It was ridiculous. "Stop!" The unfamiliar sound of a clear female scream made me look up, my heart skipping a beat in fear that someone was hurting Pearl. "I said stop!" she screamed, high-pitched again, and the sound was so unfamiliar that it got everyone's attention. Pearl stood by the door with both hands on her waist and a fierce expression on her face. "No one is going to kill each other today," she said firmly, and moved closer, with Boulder shadowing her. "You," she pointed to Edward, who was panting and holding his hand to his ribs, "sit down and listen." I pulled him roughly to a chair and nodded for Finn and Magni to get the other men back in their seats, too. "This is completely unnecessary," Pearl explained and pointed to Finn. "Get these wounded men some water." His eyes bulged at her odd request. "Beer, then," she said, and looked over to the barbot, who stood in a corner. "Get these men beers." They were bleeding and heaving for air while scowling at us. "There's another way to solve this. If you want access to women like me, raise your hand," she said, loud and clear. Hands were raised. Pearl gave Boulder and Magni a pointed stare. "Why aren't you two raising your hands?" "Because I'm already married," Boulder said. "So, do you not wish for your sons to grow up with the prospect of marrying like you have?" "Of course." "Then raise your hand." She turned to Magni. "You two, we all know that you want one woman in particular, but it still counts." Magni raised his hand a little. "And why aren't you raising your hand?" she asked me. "Wouldn't you like to have a woman of your own?" Slowly I raised my hand, wondering what the hell she was up to. "So you all agree. You all want women." Murmurs were heard. "Keep your hand in the air if you want the border gone." We all did. "Ah, so far so good. You seem to have so much in common," she smiled, and I swear it looked sarcastic. "Keep your hands up if you're pleased to hear that the council in the Motherlands hopes to take down the borders, too." "What?" the men murmured. "When?" Pearl looked straight at Edward, but moved to stand next to me, and it was too tempting to lean against her. "Lord Khan is working closely with us in the council to develop strategies that can bring a future union between our nations." "We don't want to be ruled by women," Edward spat out, flushed and sweaty from the fighting. "You think I do?" I snarled. "Fuck no." "Then what kind of union are we talking about?" Edward asked. "Hopefully one that involves lots of marriages," one of the men smirked. "It's too soon to say how a union will look, but I can tell you this." She paused and made sure they were all looking at her. "The only reason we're even having these negotiations with Lord Khan is because this is the first time in the history of the Northlands that you've had political stability for more than 3 decades. All the men followed her attentively, even the one who had just pulled the splinter out of his forehead. "If you start a rebellion and overthrow Lord Khan to take power for yourself," she pointed to Edward, "then I guarantee you that you can start all over and wait another 30 years before we'll want to start negotiations again." He frowned and sank lower in his chair. "Do you want that?" she asked the men at the table. "No," they muttered. She drew a deep sigh. "It won't be easy or quick, but no ruler has ever made this much progress toward working with the council as Lord Khan has." I squared my shoulders and saw Edward's followers turn their heads from looking at Pearl to looking at me. Meeting their eyes, I spoke. If you low-life fuck-ups sabotage the work I'm doing to get every N-man what he wants, then I will be sure to point all 10 million of them straight to this miserable dump of a bar and give them your names. Finn growled low to signal that he would be first in line to find them.
Enough with the threats, Pearl interjected. If you want women, then you all have to grow up and show us that you men are worth getting to know. We don't want brawling, violent men who don't know how to talk calmly about things.
She threw up her hands.
You want to know what modern women find attractive?
The men nodded.
We want someone who can make us laugh, someone to talk to and be friends with, someone who respects us, challenges us, and someone we can learn from and feel safe with.
When Pearl turned her face and looked straight at me, I felt chills run down my spine.
We want someone who makes us feel special and wanted.
I'll make you feel wanted. One of them grinned smugly and spread his thighs suggestively. Magni instantly smacked his head from behind.
Pearl raised a brow.
You obviously have to learn how to solve conflicts without violence. That's easy for you to say, but it's not like we have a parliament and people to represent our opinions, Edward whined.
Pearl arched a brow at me and gave me the I-told-you-so look.
This isn't a fucking democracy, I reminded them all. I'm not interested in sharing power with anyone.
Then how do you imagine a union would succeed? She asked calmly.
I don't want to discuss that here, I growled, and was relieved when Pearl didn't pursue it further.
She pinned Edward with her eyes again.
After what I just explained to you about my work with Lord Khan, can you agree with me that overturning him would only get you and your friends farther from your goal of having more women?
Some of the men grunted in agreement, but Edward still looked mad as hell.
I, too, wish we could fast forward and have one happy nation with men and women living in harmony tomorrow, but I ask you to trust that we're sharing your vision and working toward the same goal, she told the men at the table.
That's good news, one of them said, while the others nodded. I clamped my hand down on Edward's shoulder. As a gesture to Councilwoman Pearl, and proof that we are civilized and merciful men, I'll let you live, despite your treason. And in return, you'll cease your activities causing trouble.
She smiled at me, and I signaled for Boulder to escort her out before I leaned in and hissed loudly to the men.
Unlike the pretty lady, I'm no fucking pacifist, and I'll take great pleasure in castrating each of you retarded traitors, just so that when I succeed in opening the borders, you limp-dick men can look on in envy as everyone around you fucks themselves silly.
They were all quietly scowling at us when we left the bar. The contrast from the darkness inside the heinous whore to the bright sunshine made me squint.
Are you done threatening men for one day? Pearl asked.
Maybe.
So what's the plan now?
You'll see.
We moved toward the drones, and when Boulder reached for her hand to guide her inside, it annoyed the hell out of me. I didn't get many chances to physically touch Pearl, and he'd stolen my chance. I made sure I sat next to her, and didn't say much when Boulder and Pearl talked. Finn and Magni were in a different drone and taking the lead, while our security escorts moved in around us. My head was spinning from the magnificent performance Pearl had just delivered in front of Edward. If not for her, he would have been dead now, and I wasn't sure that would have been a good thing. If he really did have thousands of followers like he claimed, then they could have easily made him a martyr and used his death to spark the flame that would set my manor on fire. Pearl had made them believe she was my ally. Why would a hostage do that? What was her motivation? There was something about her willingness to accept the role as a hostage that made me wonder if I was being played. Looking over, I saw her smiling with Boulder and discussing the work that he should get done on the church.
She looked so relaxed and at peace, sitting in her long-sleeved T-shirt and tight pants in that soft organic material she liked so much. Why wasn't she more upset after what she had just witnessed? She was supposed to be a soft momsy, not a warrior with the courage of a man. Frowning, I remembered how she had taken control in that bar. How the fuck was that even possible for a woman? We had been 11 enraged men in the room, and she had calmed us down enough to listen to her. I would have sworn that was impossible. I had been ready to kill that fucker, Edward. A pinch of envy filled me that she could bend grown men to her will without the use of threats or violence. Where had she learned to do that when no one apparently fought in the Motherlands? I wondered what it would be like to see her in her own surroundings. Were people in awe of her in the Motherlands, or did all council members possess Pearl's level of calm logic and eloquence? My entire life I'd joked about the Momsies, but seeing Edward and his friends' reactions to Pearl's words had me second-guessing myself. Maybe I needed to study her closer. "I don't think he'll give us any more problems," Boulder said with a smile. "Those boys are going to spread the news like wildfire." Rubbing my forehead, I groaned. "What's wrong?" Boulder asked. "We gave them false hope, and that's going to bite us in the ass. I just know it."
"False hope?"
Pearl looked at me. "We are working on building a cultural bridge. That part is true." "Yes, but they want that border gone now, not in 10 or 20 years, I clarified. "Hey, Con," Boulder said. "I know you want to stay a few days, but since it all went down so peacefully, would you mind if I go back to Christina tonight? I don't think I'd get much sleep without her." "Lovesick fool," I muttered, but he just grinned happily. "Is that a yes?" "Do as you please."
"Where are we staying tonight?" Pearl asked.
"You and Con are staying in one of my hunting cabins," Boulder said. "Don't worry, it's safe and secluded." Pearl creased her brow and glanced at me. I let her sweat. She would soon enough learn that tonight we would be sharing a small room, with nowhere for her to sleep, other than next to me in the bed. Chapter 12. Please. Con.
"Why are we staying here?"
"Because I have arranged for meetings tomorrow, and I don't want to waste time traveling back and forth."
"But you don't need me. Couldn't I go back with Boulder?"
Pearl asked, her eyes flickering around the small room with the twin bed, the wooden chair, and the window with the view of the surrounding forest.
"At least let me sleep in the other bedroom."
"No, you're sleeping here with me." I wasn't letting her snake her way out of this one. Boulder had been surprised when I asked him to lend me his cabin. I had more grand places of my own here on the East Coast, but he and I had used this place in the past when we made unannounced visits and wished to keep a low profile. I wanted to be alone with Pearl and get away from the madhouse that the Gray Manor could be. And for my mission of getting close to her, a small cabin was perfect. The area around the cabin was rigged with safety traps, and my security team was keeping a watch from a distance. Here, I could relax and focus on my plan of seducing her.
"Where are Magni and Finn staying?"
Pearl asked, and sat her bag on the chair. "Laura has a twin sister, and Magni wanted to pay her and her husband a visit. He's hoping that Laura has been in contact."
"And Finn went with him?"
"Yes."
"What if Laura never comes back?"
Pearl asked quietly. "Then you and I will grow old together," I said with a sardonic smile, and started undressing for bed.
"Are you going to bed now?"
Pearl asked, with her big blue eyes unable to meet mine. "Yes, we are going to bed now," I said.
"But I'm not tired."
"I am. It's almost midnight, and it's been a long day." After our first stop at the heinous whore, I'd met with the chief of police in this area to discuss the situation with Edward and his followers. Next, I had met with a group of influential people for dinner to make sure I still held their support. I did. I left my briefs on before crawling into the twin bed and patted the mattress beside me. Come on, get in. The wheels were clearly turning in her head, and she bit her lower lip. No, there's no way around it, I concluded for her. Just take off your clothes and come to bed. It's not like I haven't seen you naked before.
I'm not stripping naked.
Suit yourself, I said, and placed one arm behind my neck to enjoy the show.
Do you have to stare at me like that? She said, annoyed.
I chuckled.
What's so funny? She said with an attitude.
You are. Remember when you first came and you spoke so calmly and softly? You never raised your voice, and you smiled a lot. What happened to your proper communication? Pearl drew in a sigh and pulled off her shirt and pants, leaving on her underwear. What happened? I repeated.
You happened, she said, and hurried under the cover, fluffing her pillow.
I happened? I pointed at my chest. Is that why you're punching that pillow as if it was my face? You want to hit me, don't you?
I would never, she said, but stopped herself. We both knew she had slapped me once.
Propping myself up on my elbow, I asked her something that had been on my mind for a while. How does it feel?
How does what feel? She asked, and lay down stiffly as far from me as she could get.
How does it feel to condemn everything I stand for, and yet feel yourself slipping down my dark path?
I have no idea what you're talking about, she said.
You raise your voice when you find me insufferable. You slapped me once, and have scolded me often. You even roll your eyes when you think I'm not watching, and lately I've seen you resort to sarcasm.
So?
I laughed and placed my hand closer to her. You know that Lucifer used to be an angel, right?
Yes, I'm familiar with the Christian mythology. I know who Lucifer was, she said.
Smiling my most charming smile, I moved closer to her. What if I manage to corrupt you so much that you can't go back?
That's not possible, she said, and looked down at my hand, which was now touching her waist on top of the cover.
What if, going back, you find people too polite and too tedious with all their talk about kindness? I grinned. You might be surprised that the men look feminine to you after months with me. And it's very possible that you would regret it deeply if you didn't allow yourself to feel what being with me would feel like. To my surprise, Pearl didn't move away when I slid my hand higher. She just stopped it by placing her own on top of mine.
I thought about it, she said, and that momentarily shut me up.
Jeez, this woman kept surprising me.
Sometimes when you masturbate, I get curious.
My heart started running in circles, and there was a sudden uncertainty in my chest. I'd been prepared to push her a little and maybe steal a kiss, but what would I do if she actually agreed to have sex with me? I didn't have any experience except with sex bots and my right hand. The thought of being with Pearl was both thrilling and nerve-wracking. What if I embarrassed myself?
If we actually did have sex, she said softly, and turned her face to look at me with grave eyes, I think it would complicate our relationship, and there's too much on the line. What if you wanted more and I didn't, or vice versa? I know enough about passion to understand that it complicates things between men and women. I could become a clingy woman who wanted your attention all the time. Doesn't that scare you?
I pulled back a little.
What if I left you, like Laura left Magni? Would you bear the fury and humiliation better than him?
You can't leave me when you're a hostage, I said. She looked away, and the same gnawing feeling grew in me that I had felt before. Pearl, why do I get the feeling you don't take this hostage thing very seriously?
I don't know.
You know I can keep you for as long as I want, right? My voice grew lower and gruffer because I realized she was fucking doing it again. I had moved closer to her, hoping for a kiss, but she was using her words to mess with my mind and make me doubt that I wanted to get involved with her. Fuck. The alpha in me wanted to remind her that she was the hostage and I was in control. Not only can I keep you, but I can kiss you too. She pushed at my naked chest when I rolled on top of her and spread her legs with my knees.
Get off me, she protested.
I grabbed her hands to pin them next to her head and held her right where I wanted her. Pearl's chest was lifting up and down from our struggle, and her eyes were blazing with anger. You talk too much, I whispered, and lowered my lips to almost touch hers. But I don't worry about tomorrow. I just want what feels good today.
You promised you wouldn't rape me, she reminded me in a harsh tone.
Uh-huh. I ground myself against her, not trying to hide the hard erection that was barely contained in my briefs. But there are gray zones to that promise.
No.
Kissing isn't raping, is it? I asked and placed a soft kiss on her collarbone. And what about rubbing against you like this? I pushed rhythmically against her soft spot, and color spread on her face.
Con, she groaned. Stop it.
Why? I teased. Because it feels good, and you want to stay an angel? I circled my hips again and again, enjoying the feel of her warm body underneath mine. Pearl, I whispered, and lowered myself to whisper in her ears. Is this what you've been thinking about? My large body between your thighs, and my hard cock rubbing against you? Her breathing was uneven, and she lay stiff as a board. Did you fetishize about me pushing inside you? I whispered, and gently bit her earlobe. Or wonder what it would feel like to kiss me passionately like they do in the books you've been reading?
Stop,
she pleaded meekly, but I was horny and mercilessly planted kisses along her jaw, moving toward her lips. You want to kiss me, I said. You want to know what it feels like. I was right, because the moment I kissed her, she kissed me back. The angel was falling, and fire erupted in my belly as I pulled her further down to my darkness by pressing my loins harder against her, imagining that I was penetrating her sweet body for real.
Oh,
she moaned, and I changed from pinning her hands to merging my fingers with hers.
You want more?
I asked hoarsely, and from the way she arched up against me, I concluded that was a yes. I was clumsy and frantic when I tore off her underwear and spread her legs again. It was like my mind was clouded by one goal only, to get inside her. Tell me you want it, I asked her, shoving down my briefs and letting my cock spring free. If she answered, I didn't hear it. With a mind clouded by arousal, I lay down on her again, trying to find her entrance with my painful hard erection. Lie still, I muttered, and jerked her body back into position with two rough hands on her hips, refusing to acknowledge that she was wriggling for a reason.
Stop!
Her plea reached me as I finally found the right place and pushed the tip of my cock inside her.
What?
It was torture to hold back when I wanted nothing more than to push all the way in.
Stop!
She repeated, and I saw tears in her eyes.
Please, I whispered, and leaned my forehead against hers. Please, Pearl, I'm begging you.
No, she whispered, with emotion spilling over in those fucking gorgeous eyes of hers.
You could get me pregnant.
I don't care, I fucking need you. It was the truth. My entire body was shaking with need, and my cock was throbbing from the pain of holding back.
Please, I whispered, pained, and moved a tiny bit further in.
She stiffened, but didn't stop me. Closing my eyes in the overwhelming feeling of stimulated nerve endings and erogenous zones, I moaned out in deep pleasure. Yes. Khan, we shouldn't, Pearl said again, but her legs spread wider and her hands moved to the small of my back, contradicting her words. We should, I answered in her ear, since nothing could feel this amazing and be bad for you at the same time. I wanted it to last for hours, but after only 2 minutes my entire body convulsed in an orgasm from the excitement and novelty of the feeling. It took me a minute to clear my mind, and then shame hit me. Rolling off Pearl, I hid my face under my arm, panting for breath. Fuck. I'd given my word that I wouldn't violate her, and she had told me to stop. I couldn't look at her, and disappointment with myself made me get out of bed and go to the bathroom to get my feelings under control. I had been tempted before. That time in the shower I'd wanted to take her so badly, but back then I'd told her I would wait until she asked me to. So why hadn't I? A kiss would have been sufficient to make my point. Why did I have to lose my patience and fuck up completely? Khan? There was a knock on the door. Ashamed, I opened the door to find Pearl with the cover around her body. I was still naked and felt like an idiot.
Are you okay?
She asked. I rubbed my face, having a hard time looking at her.
I need some paper. I'm dripping, she said.
Stepping aside, I let her in and walked back to the bed, crawling in and wondering how I could make this right. I was back in my briefs when she came back to bed. I'm sorry, I said.
I'm worried, she answered. What if you got me pregnant?
It doesn't happen that fast, I assured her. At least it hadn't for my parents or my brother and Laura.
You were very fast, she commented, and for the first time I looked over at her, surprised to see no anger on her face.
Yeah, things didn't exactly go as I'd planned, I apologized.
So you planned this?
No, I was hoping for... I didn't finish my sentence.
Was it your first time with a woman?
She asked. I nodded. And you? She shook her head.
No, there have been other men.
I'd never asked her, but just assumed that she was the same as Christina, who had told Boulder that she wasn't attracted to the men in the Motherlands. How many? I asked, stunned by her admission.
Why?
Narrowing my eyes, I repeated the question. How many men, Pearl?
A few.
Why? I asked. She arched a brow.
What do you mean, why? I'm 33, not a minor, and I'm allowed to explore my sexuality.
But I wanted you to be a virgin. It slipped out. She laughed a little.
You are so old-fashioned.
How long were you with these other men? I asked, suppressing the jealousy I felt.
I wasn't. They were just casual sex partners.
Sitting up, I frowned at her. I thought you were an innocent. Pearl folded her arms.
Why are we even having this conversation? I don't owe you an explanation, and I'm certainly not obliged to give you one.
When were you with those men? I asked, unable to let it go. She pressed her lips together, signaling that she wouldn't answer that. When? I repeated, feeling my temper flare.
A long time ago, she finally answered.
I want details, I pressed, and you might as well spit it out because I can be a stubborn bastard.
You don't say.
She arched her brow and sighed.
All right, I'll give you details, but then you'll promise me one thing.
What?
When I tell you, you will leave it and not mention it again.
I nodded. Pearl brushed her long hair back.
In the Motherlands, most people go to pleasure parlors to satisfy their sexual needs with sex bots. Sometimes there are couples who fall in love and become exclusive partners, although it's rare to monopolize another person like that.
She paused and bit her lip.
There are also some exotic clubs for people who want the human experience, but no relationship. We are modern women and men, and it's completely acceptable to indulge in any sort of sex you want as long as it's legal and with a consenting partner.
You went to a swingers club?
I've never heard that expression, she said.
It's a... I threw my hands up in the air, too upset to speak. A place where people come and swap partners. They existed before the toxic war.
Uh-huh, Pearl said, and pulled her legs up in front of her. It's not a place you go with a partner. It's a place you go to explore your sexuality.
And how many times did you go?
A few times, she admitted without shame. I was 22 and curious, but it didn't speak to me, so I stopped going.
What do you mean it didn't speak to you? She shrugged.
Well, let's just say that when your mind is more occupied thinking about a report you have to write than the man you're with, then you're wasting your time and his.
Ah, I relaxed a little. So you didn't find them compelling enough?
I think it had more to do with me than them.
Oh, yeah? And what about before, when I had you pinned down? Were you thinking about what reports you have to write?
No.
I squared my shoulders. See, that's the difference between N-men and fucking momsy boys.
Huh, she exclaimed, thoughtful. You think I would have that experience with any N-men?
She tilted her head.
That's an interesting thought. Maybe I should test that.
You're not testing shit. I clenched my jaw. The only N-man you'll be experimenting with is me.
I don't belong to you, Pearl reminded me with a challenging look.
As long as you're in the Northlands, you do, I boomed and moved closer. Don't think that just because I didn't win you in a tournament I'll be any less protective or possessive. No one touches you.
Pearl huffed out air and turned her back to me with annoyance. Told you it was a mistake to do it. My shame from before was gone. Pearl wasn't blaming me, so why should I? Now her way of dismissing my very first time with a woman as a mistake just pissed me off.
It's done, and there will be other times, so get used to it, I said.
In your dreams, she spat out and pulled the cover higher.
My mind was reeling with hormones and confusion. I had thought of the people from the Motherlands as being asexual, but they had fucking sex clubs. You know I'm going to be lying here thinking about what kind of kinky stuff goes on in those sex clubs of yours, I said grumpily.
Have fun with that, she yawned. With your twisted mind, I'm sure you can make it 10 times worse than it really is.
Were they better than me? I asked, and regretted my question right away.
Pearl rolled around to see me and bit her lip. It's hard to say. I mean, you were done so quickly, I can hardly compare it.
Humiliated, I was tempted to tear the cover off her and give her something she would never forget. But she read my mind.
Oh, no, don't even think about it, she warned. I allowed it once because I was curious, but if you touch me again, I will consider it rape.
I wasn't going to touch you, I lied. You might be a brilliant negotiator, but you're stiff as a board in bed, and I'd prefer a welcoming bot over you any day.
Chapter 13 Hurt Pearl I had hurt Khan, intentionally, and he had hurt me back. Lying on my side in the darkness, I listened to his slow breathing and knew he wasn't sleeping either. This day had been all kinds of crazy. First there had been the visit to the bar where Khan had confronted his enemy Edward. That had been a study in male stupidity. The whole scene had reminded me of something from a nature show with primitive gorillas banging their chests and making noises to threaten each other. Of course, I could appreciate that as the ruler, Khan was there to defend his territory. But being an evolved modern woman, it was painful to watch the prehistoric way of solving conflicts. Like the good pacifist I was, I simply had to intervene and calm the waters, and my only option was to lend power to Khan by associating him with the council, something he didn't deserve. Khan might think that I did it for him, but he was wrong. I did it because it would save Edward and his followers' lives to stay home instead of starting a revolution. And I did it because if the school project were to succeed, there had to be peace in the Northlands. But I had felt awful for lying, when the truth was that I would have never come to the Northlands if not to secure Athena's safe return. I knew I could go home if I